Pinkerton, Biden's Great Reset Comes to the Nearest Bathroom. By James P. Pinkerton on October 30, 2021. Joe Biden is all about the reset. Here at Breitbart News, there's been much written about the Great Reset. That's the notion, first emanating from arch globalist Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, also known as Davos, that the planet's economy, society, and culture need a thorough reset. You know, a reset in favor of more planetary regulation and regimentation, as directed by woke overlords such as Schwab. At the moment, the hub of the Great Reset is the -26 Colombian Pesos Climate Change Conference in Glasgow, Scotland. If you're curious about this nest of resetters and have a private jet, you can hop over and see it for yourself. But for those who don't have an airplane, or the inclination, at least there's Breitbart News extensive coverage. Okay, so the Great Reset might not sit well with you, dear reader. And yet for its part, Biden administration is fully on board. To be sure, the Biden folks are having a hard time getting their agenda enacted by Congress. And yet they are zipping along with what they can do by unilateral executive action. In fact, the Bidenites are doing exactly what Barack Obama did 7 years ago when he found his presidency stymied by Congress, operate by pen and phone. Thus, the Great Reset is coming to the U.S. piece by piece, one unilateral dictate at a time. Of course, the Great Reset is hardly limited to climate change. Resetters have a comprehensive vision of societal transformation. To that end, just on October 27, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen announced the appointment of what ought to be called a systemic racism czar, whose mission is to develop a multi-pronged strategy by the Biden administration to deal with systemic racism found in many parts of the economy. We can observe that nobody in Congress, at least no majority, approved of the creation of such a post, with powers and scope to be determined. The Bidenites simply up and did it. That's how they roll. Yet perhaps nowhere is the Biden administration attempting to do more by executive fiat than in the areas of gender and transgender activism. And this isn't surprising, since Biden and the Democrats could never secure congressional majorities for the goals set forth by the transgender liberationists. Already, the blowback against transgender activism in liberal Loudoun County, VA, which could cost Democrat Terry McAuliffe the governorship in the Old Dominion, is enough to put the scare into elected Democrats nationwide. And so the baton of great sexual reset has been passed to unelected Democrats within the Biden administration. In fact, all this year, the Bidenites have been issuing avant-garde decrees that have mostly flown under the MSM radar. Of course, a few resolute souls have been blowing the whistle on this stealthy game. Back on January 21, 2021, author Abigail Schreier, a brave critic of transgender mania, tweeted, "On day one, Biden unilaterally eviscerates women's sports. Any educational institution that receives federal funding must admit biologically male athletes to women's teams, women's scholarships, etc. A new glass ceiling was just placed over girls." Indeed, as early as March of this year, the Heritage Foundation counted nearly 40 presidential executive orders and memoranda aimed at advancing various left-wing culture war causes. And just on October 20, the U.S. State Department issued a proclamation celebrating International Pronouns Day, so that every he, she, and they can have their own favored word. Similarly, the State Department has shown its pride by issuing the first X passport, that is, a passport with no information about the sex of the passport holder. Some will regard this as a triumph for gender liberation, while others will wonder if such political correctness cuts against the basic notion of what a passport is for, namely, to properly and adequately identify the individual. The gender strategy is a gift to Republicans. Yet perhaps the best single indicator of Bidenic sexual resetting can be found in the administration's National Strategy on Gender Equity and Equality, a 42-page document released on October 22 by the White House's Gender Policy Council. Perhaps you didn't know there was such a thing, but are you surprised? The Gender Strategy document is explicit in seeking to advance the Biden agenda through the prism of gender issues, and to escalate from there. As it states, building back better requires not just policy reform, but also a shift in the social and cultural norms that undermine gender equity and equality. We can pause now and see some big ambition. You see, the goal is not just progressive policy, but also shifting social and cultural norms that undermine gender equity and equality. In other words, it's the Great Reset. Indeed, the gender strategy is emphatic about resetting. This kind of structural change is urgently needed. By now, is the reader perhaps thinking that he or she might be a guinea pig for the resetting that they have in mind? For sure, the Biden folks see the urgency of their situation. As they declare, America faces the most significant reckoning over racial justice since the 1960s, and witnesses grave threats to reproductive rights and voting rights. Amidst all this Prague boilerplate, we can note the emergence of a relatively new word in the lefty lexicon, equity. That word appears in the gender strategy document no less than 123 times. And no, we're not talking about home equity, or sweat equity, or any sort of equity that involves thrift, work, or anything like that. It seems that the old word, equality, isn't good enough for the left anymore. And why not? Because equality is too closely associated with equal opportunity, which is out of fashion with the progs, who lust not just for affirmative action, not just for quotas, but for actual assigned and determined outcomes. Guess who makes the assignments and the determinations? In the prog left mind, equal opportunity can lead to unequal outcomes, because people, in their various ways, have unequal characteristics. And so the new preferred word is equity, which means that everybody gets the same thing, no matter what. This might strike some as e-word wordplay, and yet the left is serious about this distinction, as seen in this illustration. And the gender strategy is right there on the cutting edge. By equity, we refer to the consistent and systematic fair, just, and impartial treatment of all individuals, including those who belong to underserved communities that have been denied such treatment, such as women and girls, Black, Latino, and Indigenous and Native American persons, Asian Americans, Native Hawaiians, and Pacific Islanders, and other persons of color, members of religious minorities, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex, LGBTQ+, persons with disabilities, persons who live in rural areas, and persons otherwise adversely affected by persistent poverty or inequality. One might skim through this list and wonder, in this long litany of victims deserving of special treatment, who's left out? And the answer, of course, is straight white males. But you knew that. It should be no surprise that the gender strategy has been ridiculed by leaders on the right. Senator Tom Cotton, RR, tweeted, "The White House has no interest in solving inflation, the border, or rising gas prices." But plenty of time for a 42-page national gender strategy with an intersectional focus on climate change. Cotton added, "This strategy reads like a parody of a gender studies PhD thesis." Cotton intended that as an insult, and yet we might wonder if the authors. The principal author is presumably Jennifer Klein, co-chair and executive director of the White House Gender Policy Council, took it that way. Speaking of parody, Con Carroll of the Washington Examiner tweeted, "If the Babylon Bee had been asked to write a national gender strategy to be posted on the White House's website, it wouldn't look any different than the document the Biden administration actually released last Friday." Still, some particular howlers emerge from the actual document, and here are three. First, the gender strategy praises the Biden administration for having restored America's leadership on the rights of women and girls on the world stage. This restoration of international leadership would be news to the women and girls of Afghanistan. Second, the gender strategy document lauds the transgender athlete who dreams of the chance to compete free from discrimination. By now, we all know that means actual girls and women to the back of the bus. Fortunately, some Republicans, such as Governor Greg Abbott of Texas, are taking the trans train head-on. Abbott just signed legislation to prohibit biological men who consider themselves transgender women from competing against biological female athletes in elementary and secondary schools in the state. To be sure, what happens in Texas won't impress the gender strategists at the White House, but at least now the American people will see that they have a choice. Do they want the blue trans vision or the red tradition vision? Here's guessing that a lot of Democrats representing purplish, or even red, areas are getting nervous as they think about their next election, having to defend this gender stuff on the stump. Third, the gender strategy seeks to jumpstart a prog cause that most Americans have been fleeing from, undermining the police and public safety. For about 3 months in mid-2020, lefties thought they were winning with their anti-cop agenda. And yet then, of course, reality, the reality of crime, caught up with them. In fact, a new Pew Center poll finds that public opinion is back to normal. By a margin of more than 3-1, Americans wish to see police funding increased, not decreased. Yet apparently, nobody at the Gender Policy Council has noticed this shift in the zeitgeist. And so the document sails forth with this AUC-friendly pledge. We are also committed to increasing federal oversight and accountability for police departments and prosecutors' offices to address systemic misconduct, including gender bias and sexual misconduct. But wait. There's more, and we will work to end cash bail and reform our pretrial system. Recognizing the harm these processes cause, particularly for Black women and families. So now the Biden genderians have really put themselves in deep water. Eliminating cash bail means, in effect, eliminating the detention of suspects prior to trial. That is, someone gets arrested for a crime, but is then released and told to appear for a court date sometime in the future. And you know what that means. Interestingly, New York State did exactly what the Biden genderians have in mind. Back in 2019, it did away with cash bail and turned the suspects all loose. Once again, as night follows day, the result was predictable. Sample headline from Breitbart News last year, over 400 NYC looters to be freed from jail thanks to bail reform policy. Needless to say, the crime rate in New York is way up. Such that even the Democrat-stacked state government has had to partially roll back the ill-starred bail law. Yet for its part, the White House Gender Policy Council is standing by its beliefs. A look at its Twitter feed shows no hint of second thoughts about the turn em loose policy touted in the gender strategy document. And there's nothing, either, from the White House press secretary's Twitter feed. So there it is, in the name of gender equity. The Biden White House wants to let criminals run free. One suspects that Republican opposition researchers have already taken note of this vote-losing platform. As a buzz phrase, gender equity might sound innocuous enough. And yet trouble starts when you get into the fine print. And the White House has just produced 42 pages of fine print. The bottom line is that the American people don't particularly believe in gender liberation, just as they don't believe in the overall Great Reset. Most folks wouldn't mind a pay raise, or relief from inflation, or the confidence that their children's school bathrooms will be a trans-free zone, but they sure as heck don't want to be reset. The vast majority of Americans want just to be left alone and be normal. Is that asking too much? By now, thanks in part to this gender strategy, we know the Bidenites' answer to that question.